Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Hello, WrestleManiacs, and welcome back to the House of L podcast. No, I'm not Lawrence Holmes. I am Chris Anthony Lopez, returning after my WrestleMania preview last week. And this week, we're going to break down some WrestleMania fallout. So look, WrestleMania 41 happened on April 19th and 20th at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I had the pleasure of being in Las Vegas during WrestleMania weekend. I was there for a very long time and my voice is shot. So I'm sorry if I sound a bit wheezy during this podcast. But I was there, not at the actual show, but at a bunch of watch parties in Las Vegas. Shout out to those people that I made friends with at those shows. Those are super fun. But WrestleMania, that's what we're here to talk about. Pro wrestling. Last week, I talked about that it's back. And if this past weekend proved anything, it's that wrestling is truly, truly back in the zeitgeist, whether now we like it or not. So let's just break down the results real quick. I will go through both cards of WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2 and just give brief thoughts on the winners, right? And then we'll break down some actual big moments from both shows. So first up, Jey Uso defeated Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. Not surprised, but we'll get to that match in a second. I have a lot of thoughts. The New Day defeated the War Raiders to become the new World Tag Team Champions. Jade Cargill defeated Naomi. Jacob Fatu defeated LA Knight to become the new United States Champion. A lot of titles being traded on this night. El Grande Americano had a match against Rey Fénix instead of Rey Mysterio after Rey Mysterio got hurt on the night before edition of SmackDown. But Grande Americano defeated Rey Fénix. Rey Fénix just debuted and is already losing to El Grande Americano. Fantastic. Switching gears, Tiffany Stratton defeated Charlotte Flair to retain her WWE Women's Championship. Hooray! One of my favorite matches of the weekend. Spoiler alert. And Seth Rollins defeated CM Punk and Roman Reigns and turned heel, aligning himself with Paul Heyman in a crazy, good, awesome triple threat that capped off night one. What a great match. I love that. Probably my favorite match of the weekend. Night two, another triple threat. Io Sky retained her Women's World Championship against Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. Awesome match to kick off the show. Loved it. Drew McIntyre beat Damian Priest in a Sin City Street Fight. Another great match. Dominic Mysterio became the new Intercontinental Champion, defeating former champion Braun Breaker, Finn Balor, and Penta Cero Miedo. Randy Orton defeated Joe Hendry in his open challenge match, which was absolutely insane. We'll get to that in a minute. Logan Paul defeated AJ Styles. Great. Yay. Becky Lynch is back. She became Lyra Valkyria's new tag partner after Bayley mysteriously got injured on night one of WrestleMania. But they defeated Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez to become the new women's tag team champions. And John Cena defeated Cody Rhodes to become the undisputed WWE champion, becoming the all-time leader in world title reigns, 17, count them, 17 world championships between John Cena throughout his entire career. Like, what a feat. What a historic feat. And let's just start there. John Cena defeating Cody Rhodes, night two of WrestleMania. Okay, where do we begin? I'm just going to be candid with you guys. I did not like this match at all. I was not a fan. The build already was kind of weird. I talked about it in the WrestleMania preview from last week. I needed something good. I needed a barn burner. Is The Rock going to show up? How's Travis Scott going to be involved in this? Because it was the worst kept secret in professional wrestling that Travis Scott was going to be in his match in some capacity. But here we are, John Cena's final WWE WrestleMania main event, main wrestling match thing ever, right? He's gone on record. He's not wrestling after this year. And this is his last WrestleMania. and he beats Cody Rhodes. Not surprisingly, we kind of expected it. If anything was surprising, it was the finish, right? First of all, the match was fine, in my opinion, leading up to it. Like, they were trying to feel each other out, and Cena was working heel for the first time in 20 years, so I can't really knock him for that. But you can just tell something was off. Something felt weird, at least to me. Maybe I'm being dramatic, but Travis Scott, at some point in this match, gets a full entrance because he is, you know, Travis Scott, one of the biggest rappers, if not the biggest rapper on the planet right now. And he gets a full entrance. He walks gingerly his way down to the ring, and he gets involved with Cody Rhodes and John Cena. And while distracting the ref, John Cena, you know, if I recall correctly, he gives him a low blow, attitude adjustment, 1, 2, 3, new world champ. Okay. So you're telling me that in John Cena's last WrestleMania match ever, it's a screwy finish, which, I mean, that's not the worst part, but it's Travis Scott, of all people? This just screams clicks, and this screams like we needed a moment, as if John Cena's final WrestleMania wasn't moment enough. I've had a lot of people tell me in the last few days that this is classic heel John Cena. This is a few friends of mine telling me this, who actually loved this match and loved this finish. John Cena said he was going to ruin pro wrestling, right? He said that in a promo on Raw leading up to this match. So this is ruining wrestling? Underwhelming matches with disappointing finishes on the grandest stages of them all? That's what we want out of John Cena in 2025 in his retirement run? I'm sorry, but I'm not cool with that. I predicted Cena to win. That's not what I'm mad at. I think I'm more upset and disappointed with how this came about. I think you made Cody look like a punk, the guy who dethroned the longest reign in WWE history, or at least one of the longest reigns in WWE history, in Roman Reigns last year. Cody finished the story, and a year later, he's getting punked out by Travis Scott and a pseudo-heel John Cena because he was getting cheered like crazy in Las Vegas. Rightfully so, because it's John Cena, the greatest of all time. I was just so befuddled by this, and I'm still wrapping my head around it. I began to rewatch it not too long ago before doing this podcast, and I just got upset and decided to just jump on this and talk about it. I'm sorry to anyone listening that loved the match. I wish I can share your enthusiasm, but now here we are. Summer of Cena. On Raw, he went on the next day saying that he's the last real world champion in WWE, and he was RKO'd by Randy Orton. That's your Backlash main event in St. Louis. How apropos, because Randy Orton's from St. Louis. I mean, that's nostalgia. That's at least for me. I grew up loving the matches between John Cena and Randy Orton. But if I read this correctly, someone said that this was the first time, or this will be the first time that Cena will work as a heel against Randy Orton. I don't know how true that is. If it is true, cool. If not, then all right. But this match just didn't move me the way that I wanted it to. It's really cool seeing John Cena win number 17. How long does he hold the belt? Who does he drop the belt to? How long is he still going to be a heel? These are all great questions. But in the meantime, what a downer for WrestleMania 41. On night two, that, if you ask me, was better than night one. Let's look back at night two, right? Becky Lynch returned and teamed up with Lyra Valkyria in a really fun moment for the crowd. Big pop. Not only out of my WrestleMania watch party, but from Legion Stadium, from how it sounded, and beat Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Great. Super fun. That's awesome. We love Becky Lynch, at least in my house. And then the next day on Raw, they lose the belts again, back to the Judgment Day. Liv and Raquel becoming four-time women's tag team champions in the process. And then Becky Lynch turns heel. Oh, okay. And attacks Lyra. Oh, okay. Wicked. So we take out Bayley from this match to put in Becky to get them that title win at WrestleMania just to drop it the next day. We've seen this so many times in WWE, and it does not make it okay. It does not make it cool. Just because they've done it before doesn't make it all right. I love the moment at WrestleMania. The moment on Raw, not so much. Icy Fatal 4-Way. Dominic Mysterio winning. Awesome. Hell yeah. Pinning Finn Balor. Love that. Penta looked great. Breaker looked great. Balor looked great. Mysterio looked great. Match rocks. I love that. One of my favorite matches of the weekend. Super fun. Got a big reaction from the various watch parties and at Legion Stadium for WrestleMania. So much so that when Dom left the ring, he went back. Allegedly, he made that decision himself. He went back just to get an even bigger pop. Love that. What a moment. What a moment for him. What a moment for his dad, presumably backstage. And for the fans like me who love Dom and want to see him succeed. That's a future world champion right there. I wouldn't be surprised. You know what? I'm going to say this. I would not be surprised if this time next year, Dominic is already world champion or in the hunt for a world title. He's due. It's coming. Be ready, and it's going to be freaking rad. Speaking of big moments, Joe Hendry answering the open challenge from Randy Orton. You know, I do believe in Joe Hendry. Genuinely. I think he's super rad. He's the TNA World Champ right now, and that belt was featured on a WrestleMania card. Who would have thunk it? Some people in my life predicted Joe Hendry. Shout out to my friend Gavin, who sent me a voice memo of him crying. When Joe Hendry came out, a great moment again for all of us fans. The one thing I have to say about the actual match, 3 minutes, that's it? That's all we get? You couldn't get a little bit more from Randy Orton and the TNA World Champ? Not saying that Joe needs to get all his offense in or something, but damn, I think we could have gone at least to 10, right? The night ended a little early. We could have got a little something extra. I wouldn't have been mad at it personally. But, I mean, great moment. You know, it got the clicks that WWE wanted. So I guess success. The first match on the card for night two between Bianca Belair, Io Sky, and Rhea Ripley lived up to all expectation. If not, it exceeded it. These three women absolutely brought the house down to start night two. And this is after a night one that had a mixed reception from the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, and from the folks that were at my watch parties that I was talking to. Not a great night one, but folks are holding out for a great night two, and the ladies started us out hot. Loved it. And Io Sky retaining, yay! Great moment for Io Sky. From my understanding, and I might be in the wrong here, but Io Sky is the first Japanese woman to win a WrestleMania match. Period. And from my understanding, the first Japanese wrestler to win a WrestleMania match in like 20 years or over 20 years, something like that. Insane. Couldn't happen to a better wrestler. Io Sky is the best, one of the best that WWE has right now. And obviously Triple H and the creative team see that as well. So Io Sky, love that. And she had a really kick-ass moment on the Raw after where Stephanie Vaquer, the NXT Women's Champion, came out and they had a little match that was interrupted by Roxanne Perez and Julia, as well as Rhea Ripley. That's the future of the WWE Women's Division, alongside Bianca Belair, who also, again, had a WrestleMania streak broken, but she kicked a lot of ass in that match. Love that. Great stuff. Night one. Let's talk about the opener before we get to the main event, because I have a lot of thoughts on the main event. Jey Uso beat Gunther. Holy hell. I like the match better than most people did, I guess. I might be in the minority here, but Jey Uso busting out a lot of Gunther's offense was pretty fun to see, I'm not going to lie. Him busting out the sleeper holds and barely doing any super kicks. He was just on fire, and it made for a great moment again. The entrance was a little underwhelming. I think the entrance for the first Raw on Netflix that he had was significantly better, and that had, coincidentally and ironically, Travis Scott, of all people. But this match, I thought, was really fun, and Gunther got his heat back the next day, or the next Raw, I should say, when he attacked the Raw commentary team. He got physical with Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, and he choked out Pat McAfee in the process. Who would have thunk it? Gunther turning face on Raw. Love that. Good stuff, Gunther. But hopefully now we get some good stuff out of Jey Uso, who, in my opinion, his singles matches, his singles run hasn't been spectacular besides the yeet and the entrances. But Gunther, I wonder what the future of him is going to be. I had a buddy of mine tell me that they're setting up Gunther McAfee. I don't think that's where they're going. And if that is where they're going at Backlash, Gunther should squash McAfee. I'm not even just saying that because I'm not the biggest fan of Pat McAfee, but I'm just saying that from a wrestling perspective. Why would that match be competitive? You know, we already saw Pat McAfee in competitive matches in NXT a long time ago. And in my opinion, those don't age well, especially the Adam Cole of it all. Adam Cole, baby. Shout out to AEW. Another spotlight that I want to shine on night one is Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, who put on a great match. Probably my favorite match of night one up until the main event. And Tiffany and Charlotte, they were just beating the hell out of each other. You can feel that match being physical and personal. And I was befuddled at some blood that we got later. Some people thought that Tiffany chipped a tooth, and it just felt real, you know, as real as this can get. Wrestling is real. I saw that on a lot of t-shirts in Vegas this past weekend. And man, they were beating the hell out of each other. And I loved it. That match rocked. To me, one of Tiffany's best since joining the main roster. And Charlotte, this is the match that Charlotte needed before, you know, jumping into this next stage. Will they continue this? Great question. What's the future of Tiffany and Charlotte Flair going into the summer? Who knows? If we get another match out of them, I wouldn't be mad. But Tiffany retaining was the smart idea and the best choice. And hopefully she holds on to that belt for a long time. I've been loving her character work the last few weeks, whether it's a little worked or a little real, a little shoot material, if you know what I mean. Then, I mean, keep the belt on her. I think she's rad. The main event of night one, Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins. Last week, I told y'all that I thought Rollins was going to win, but I was holding out hope for CM Punk. For a second, I thought that Punk was going to win. I genuinely thought that. Like, oh my God, Punk is going to win. This is going to be gnarly. And I thought Reigns was taking the pin regardless. But how they did the turn was more effective and more, it's just super well executed. Seth Rollins aligns himself with Paul Heyman. Heyman throwing in a chair to CM Punk. Punk looks to hit Reigns with it. Heyman with a low blow to Punk. And then he gives the chair to Reigns. Reigns proceeds to beat Punk with the chair, turns his sights to Seth Rollins. A la The Shield. You guys remember The Shield? I feel like we do The Shield nostalgia like every other week on WWE programming, but it's cool. Who doesn't love The Shield? Reigns is about to swing the chair at Seth Rollins. Then the low blow from Heyman to Reigns. Unreal moment, unreal pop, unreal, like, reaction. What a WrestleMania moment right there. They're all about WrestleMania moments. That's it. To me, that is the WrestleMania moment of the weekend. Paul Heyman turning on Punk and Reigns, which we all predicted. Everyone could have said Reigns and Punk are going to get turned on by Heyman, and he'll align himself with Seth Rollins. Little did we know how kick-ass it was going to be. Little did we know how the next day, or how 2 days later on Raw, here come Rollins and Heyman, interrupted by Punk, interrupted by Reigns. People start fighting, and then wham! A spear to Roman Reigns. Who could have done that? Only the man with the best spear in professional wrestling, if you ask me, Bron Breakker, aligning himself with Rollins and Heyman. I saw this tweet. I don't have it in front of me, but I will paraphrase it. It said that Gunther dropping the IC title last year to Sami Zayn and being elevated immediately into world title contention will do the same for Bron Breakker this year. Maybe him dropping the IC belt will put him in line for a world title shot later. Hopefully soon, because Bron, let's be real, they're building him up to be a pillar of WWE going forward. But the big question is now, what is this alliance between Heyman, Rollins, and Breakker? Do they have a fun name? People are calling them Evolution 2.0. It won't be that, but it's still pretty fun. will anyone else join them? As I mentioned earlier, Becky Lynch turned heel. Do we see Becky team up with her real-life husband, Seth Rollins? Do we see another, you know, bitter superstar join this team like Drew McIntyre, who had himself a hell of a performance at WrestleMania against Damian Priest? Do we see Carmelo Hayes? I know Carmelo Hayes wasn't on the WrestleMania card, but he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on the SmackDown before. Hey, what about Carmelo? I know we're about to get a WWE draft coming up soon where the rosters are going to get shaked up a little bit. I would love to see Carmelo Hayes join this group because let's be real, guys. Imagine Heyman, Rollins, Breaker, Hayes. I know Hayes and Breaker have had their beef before in NXT. They put on some great matches there. If y'all haven't seen them, I recommend checking them out. But that would be super fun to see. But the fallout of this, the fallout of WrestleMania and the Raw after WrestleMania is going to be very interesting. And the Raw after was desperately needed. If you ask me, geez, if you ask a few people, like there was some stuff on Raw that was better than what we got at WrestleMania. I wonder why that is. I don't know if that's a Triple H decision, you know, with him being the head of creative, or if that's a higher up decision. But there was some really good stuff during WrestleMania weekend. And then there was some really meh stuff, depending on who you ask. I still don't love the main event. There were some matches that I didn't love over the course of the WrestleMania card. Again, why is AJ Styles losing to Logan Paul in the year of our Lord, 2025? Why is El Grande Americano still a thing and beating Rey Fénix? For the record, Dominic Mysterio wrestled Penta on the Raw after Mania and won. It was a decisive pin, right? Like, or he pinned him. It was Penta's first singles loss since he debuted on January 6th, first episode of Raw on Netflix. Rey Fénix just showed up like 2 weeks ago and is already losing to El Grande Americano. And by the way, the whole presentation of El Grande Americano, I sighed. Deep sigh the entire time. The whole mariachi, the whole filter on the screen, the finish of the match, I hated it. I know they still protected Rey Fénix. He didn't look like a chump in this, but still, come on, guys, what are we doing? Some people were a bit deflated by the World Tag Team title match between the New Day and the War Raiders. I thought the finish was pretty heelish. Going back to the Cena thing, classic heel stuff, that's the New Day. So folks like John Cena stuff, why don't we like the New Day stuff? Just saying, just throwing that out there for those who disagree with me. Jade Cargill and Naomi put on a great match. I wish it could have gone on a little bit longer. I thought Naomi was going to win, but they made them both look really good. And I'm eager to see that match continue, or this feud continue. Maybe a rematch at Backlash. Maybe Naomi going over. That'd be pretty fun. But what's going on next for WWE? Backlash is coming up, and I am very eager to see how they approach the summertime and how they do this whole build-up post Cena becoming number 17 world champ, right? How do they approach Jey Uso becoming world champ for the first time? And a returning Sami Zayn on Raw? Hey, Sammy's back. Heel turn incoming, maybe? I don't want it, but it's definitely has to be in the cards. We have to talk about it. We'll find out soon enough. Big shout out to NXT. They had a great episode on this past Tuesday, and NXT Stand and Deliver was awesome. One of the best matches of the weekend. Fraxium, the team of Nathan Frazier and Axiom, lost their NXT tag belts to Hank and Tank. A tag team I didn't necessarily love going into the weekend, but I became a huge fan of after that match. If you guys have not seen NXT Stand and Deliver, a couple matches to look out for. Hank and Tank versus Fraxium. Big shout out to Sol Ruka winning the NXT Women's North American Championship. That match is kind of fun. And the main event of Obafemi, Trick Williams, and Javon Evans. Those three guys put on a freaking barn burner. I loved it. I was a little let down by the NXT Women's Championship Fatal 4-Way with Jada Parker, Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, and Jordan Grace. I feel like those women could have put on a better match. Maybe because it was so early in the morning that the show went on. It went on at 9:30 local time. Kind of weird. And I wasn't ready for wrestling at 9:30 in the morning. But it happened, and I was a little bit let down. But the triple threat, the men's triple threat, and I want to say it was one of the first in a long time all-black main events in WWE. We haven't had that in a while. We don't get those too often. And to me, that meant a lot. And I love that match. I thought it was great. And Obafemi went over. I recommend checking that out. It was a really fun match. But a lot of great wrestling was consumed over the course of the weekend on my end. I went to a Deadlock Pro Wrestling show while I was in Vegas. I saw a lot of blood, a lot of crazy stuff. And to the point where tag teams and wrestlers are getting kicked out of venues for doing gnarly stuff that the venues did not approve. That is why WrestleMania weekend is so important, because you get to support these independent wrestling shows. And it gave me some of the best wrestling I've seen all weekend. I love it. Shout out to LeBron Cozone and Leon Slater. They put on another great match that I absolutely loved. But so much good wrestling. The vibes were great in Vegas. Got to do a lot of really cool stuff. And WrestleMania, while a bit bittersweet for me, it gave me a lot of good stuff, and I can't really complain, at least not too much. That main event, though, I will continue to complain about it. Looking back at the card, it wasn't that bad. I think just the main event left such a sour taste in my mouth. I want to see where that direction goes. There's no way Cena is a heel all year, right? Right? Do they wait until his last show to turn him face again? How does he turn face without The Rock? I'm not even going to get into The Rock's comments about WWE and pro wrestling and how it's all a work, brother, and how interviews are all works and how everything's a work. I'm not going to get into that. And his absence at WrestleMania 41, even though he said he was at home, he could have been at the show. That's a different conversation for a different podcast. But in the meantime, if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, leave us a follow, subscribe, rate us, let us know what you think. What you think of WrestleMania 41? You can find me on Twitter at the letter C, Anthony Lopez. You can follow me on Instagram at the letter C _ Anthony Lopez. Let's talk about wrestling. If you don't want to talk about wrestling, that's okay. You want to talk about movies? You want to talk about music? You want to talk about TV, pop culture? Let me know. Follow me on the social media platforms, and I will happily, happily talk. If anyone knows me, y'all know how much I love to talk. And let Lawrence know if you want more WrestleManiac content here on the House of L. I love doing these. Thank you to Lawrence for letting me on the House of L, for trusting me to talk about WrestleMania and talk about wrestling, period, on his show. Happy WrestleMania, guys. And hopefully, I'll get to talk to you soon. So for the House of L podcast and for Lawrence Holmes, my name is Chris Anthony Lopez. Be good people, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.